Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 28th of October, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as always, I have a half-price margarita and also Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Happy Thursday. And thanks for having me.
Of course.
Again.
Well, so we've had a lot of things happen. Just recently, we got iOS 15. Earlier this week, we got Monterey. And now that we have both of them on the same operating system, because there's always sort of that weird in-between time where your iOS device has been upgraded to the next thing, but your Mac hasn't, because usually the Mac OS version comes a little bit later. And we end up in this weird state where there's like stuff that's really cool that you can do on your phone that hasn't quite come to your Mac yet. But now that we have Monterey, we have some of the feature parity and some of the stuff that required iOS 15 and Monterey in order for stuff to work. And one of the things that works in both places now is live text.
You are correct. You are correct, ma'am. Yes, live text. Terrible name. Awesome feature.
That's true.
Well, I mean, come on. Text is inanimate. Live text is a oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence, or, you know, it's just one of those things that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I digress. It's a great new feature. And here's what it does, for those who haven't figured it out yet. It lets you copy text from a static image, a picture, or text in the viewfinder of the camera, or text in a picture on a web page. But you know, those used to be just pixels. You couldn't copy and select and do anything with them. You would have to save them and find an OCR app and, you know, OCR them. And it was a whole thing. And now, real-time OCR. That's what I think they should have called it.
They should have.
Not live text. Real-time OCR. So that's what live text is. In technical terms, it recognizes characters in images or characters in anything that the camera app is looking at, and then uses OCR on the fly to convert it to selectable, editable text.
And the thing
I mentioned that it does that in real time.
Well, the thing that I think is so impressive about it is, like, aside from the fact that it's very impressive that this is a thing that works right now, because it works on any sort of image. So I think I've given the example that I received a text message from an Android user of a picture they had taken. So it was something I got as an attachment in Messages, you know, from not another Apple device. And when I opened up that image, it gave me the option of OC of live text, and then I could copy the information out of it and paste it into somewhere else. And so what's cool about it to me is the part where you can take action on that text right from the capture piece. So you can have it OCR, but if it sees that it's a phone number, it will give you the option to call it right from the camera.
Well, you must have read my column, because that was the first thing that came to mind after I said what it was, look at all the things it lets you do from a picture. You know, I mean, start a FaceTime call, start a FaceTime video call, start a mail message. If it's a email address, if it's a URL, it can open it. And then, or of course, you can copy it. But here's what I think is the coolest. It's not just for still images. You can point your camera app at it. And and anything, any text the camera that's in the viewfinder, if you hold still enough, the little icon comes up that tells you there's live text you can look at and copy. It's so cool. And it's not limited to the camera app and photos. It's also in Safari and Notes. I'm not sure what else yet. But if you see that little icon, which I say looks like a camera viewfinder with three horizontal lines inside, if you see that, that's telling you that if you tap on text in that image or whatever's on your screen, you can then act on it or select it or copy it or do whatever you want.
Yeah. The OCR piece is nice, but boy, the fact that you can take action on it right from there is the part that I still can't get over. Yeah.
Well, here's the one that I like. Okay. My favorite thing is that I can point the camera at text and translate it to or from another language in real time. Now, I know you can get apps that do that, but they've never been very good. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have to keep them available and launch them and everything else. This is available for anything. I mean, you can turn your camera app on and point the camera at something and translate it. Mm-hmm. You can take a picture of it and translate it. You can look it up on the internet. And if it's not in English, even if it's pixels, you can translate it. And that to me is cool because I have plans to travel internationally again as soon as the zombie apocalypse, you know, calms down enough for that to be moderately safe. Well, moderately safe.
Yeah.
You know, not just feasible. I mean, I just want to feel like getting on an airplane isn't going to kill me. And I guess I already do because I'm going to California next week on an airplane.
Yeah.
First time in a couple of years. But, you know, at some point I'd like to go to Europe again. I'd like to go to South America. And I'm not good with any of the European languages, nor any of the South American. So the ability to point at a menu and have it translated, that would be priceless. In travel, you know, you got a map and you want to know what that little thing in the corner says. That would be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Just having a translator in your pocket. That works, and it seems to work pretty well, although I have a hard time evaluating this stuff because I don't speak the other language. I could be telling the guy to go go where the sun don't shine when I think I'm asking where the bathroom is. I would never know. So it seems to work. I will report again after a trip to a foreign country.
Okay.
But that's so cool. That is just so cool that it's real time and
yeah,
and I believe it's on device, which means it doesn't have to have an internet connection.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
So far, the few times I've been able to try it out, as far as like, you know, taking a picture of something and scooping text out of it, it's worked really well, and I've been pretty impressed with the results. I haven't tried to translate or anything like that, but it's been very nice to have the send something to the Notes app easily, or send something, you know, dial a phone number, you know, and stuff like that. It's been very nice. I had to run an errand yesterday for Mr. Kelly, and it was to a part of the greater metropolitan area here where I don't spend a lot of time. So I needed a map, and he had a piece of paper that had the address on it. And I pointed my camera at it, tapped on the address, and it said, "Get directions." And I did that, and it just worked. And it was amazing.
Yep. Yeah. When you find one of those little use cases that ordinarily would have required you to think through how to do that, which app to send that picture to enable you to copy the text so that you could get directions to it, and then how to open it in Maps. All of these things require require thought and time. And now all of a sudden you can just,
and now it just works. I just hit the camera. It all happened right from the lock screen. I mean, I hit the camera button on my lock screen, pointed it at the piece of paper, and that was that. But I just. Yes.
You have to hold the camera still.
Yes.
Because if you wiggle the camera, it doesn't ignite the live text icon. And if you don't see the icon, the text isn't live yet.
Yeah.
Well, until it's still enough that it recognizes the text. So if you point it at some text and nothing happens and you can't select it,
take a deep breath. Stick your arm against the wall.
Exactly. All the things you do to steady your camera. You don't have to do those anymore if you've got the more expensive iPhones.
Yeah.
By the way, they account for that and more.
Yeah. I just realized I want to, I'm going to have to get one of, see if I still have any business cards left from anyone, because if it's me, it's going to absolutely know me. So I want to try it with a business. Now I'm just realizing like I need to try it with a business card and see how that works, because that's what I used to do was, When somebody would hand me a business card, I would just snap a photo and hand it back to them and go, I will lose the business card, but I will not lose my phone with the picture of it. So I'll just take that instead.
You had to remember to take it home, OCR it, put it into contact.
Yep. I had to go home and there was a whole process to getting all that stuff. Even if I had an app that would OCR the business card, it was still a question of making sure that I sat down and spent all the time and where did I meet them? And, you know, it was so loud there and I don't quite remember what we were talking about, you know, or whatever. And so having the opportunity to have that all happen live in the moment is I'm going to have to try that. So I'm going to go see. I have to go see now how it works with my business cards. Yeah.
I predict in an upcoming operating system, when you point your camera at what looks like a business card or something that has address and phone information, one of the options will be add to contact or create new contact.
I have a feeling it might be there now if you can dial. I mean, it's just a data detector.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I would guess if it's not in there now, it will be after either a full point update or a point release.
Anytime soon.
You know, maybe soon, but maybe not until 16. But even so, watch for that feature.
I don't think it'll take that long. But before before we go too much further, I do want to spend a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is SimpliSafe. And SimpliSafe, you've heard me talk about SimpliSafe before. They build a security system that is very easy to set up and use. And they've now added an outdoor security camera to that lineup. So like all the other stuff, it's very easy to use. It's got a nice high resolution, night vision, an easily removable, rechargeable battery, which is super great. And it works with any existing SimpliSafe setup or with a new one. So all you have to do to get one is go to our website. And if you're interested, SimpliSafe is celebrating this new camera with 20% off a new system and the first month of interactive monitoring for free. So here's what you do. Go to simplisafe.com/TDO and you can customize the system and get all set up with that new camera. That's SimpliSafe.com/TDO, simplisafe.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank SimpliSafe for sponsoring the show today. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was part of it was sort of that forward looking. You know, where are we going to where do you think this is going to go? But part of that is also now we can do this on Macs as well. So like the first big expansion of live text is that now my computer can do it, not just the computer in my pocket. Because I haven't tried it yet on Monterey because I haven't pulled the trigger on my new machine yet. So I haven't seen anything
there. I have to admit, I haven't either, even though I wrote Monterey for Dummies. Now here's the thing. I was on vacation last week, and I missed the drop date of Monterey while I was out of town. So I got home, and I thought, okay. I was thinking of doing a nuke and pave, so I kind of held off. I wasn't sure if I wanted to erase my hard disk first or not and start clean. Mm-hmm. And then it occurred to me when I got back to Austin yesterday, I opened up the system, the software update system preference pane, and it only offered to update me to the latest version of Big Sur. It was then that I realized my MacBook Pro is too old to run Monterey,
which is why
I bought a MacBook Air, an M-powered MacBook Air. And so now I have to consider, I think I have to erase it because it's got weird stuff on it from shooting screenshots for the book. Mm-hmm. But B, I have to figure out how to connect like my Thunderbolt dock. I think I need a Thunderbolt 2 to USB-C adapter maybe or cable. And I've got my HDMI port on the MacBook Pro. And I've got, I think... The dock I want to use with the new MacBook Air has an HDMI port, but I'm not sure, so I have to look at that and consider that.
We'll do a little bit of technology counseling, and I can help you step through all of those, because I had to do this not too long ago myself, so I'm just here to help.
You know, I've got so much stuff. I've got a couple of USB hubs that are at present USB-A. Mm-hmm. That need to become USB-C, but I've got those kind of converter adapter things.
Yeah.
So I think I'm okay, but I only have a limited number of ports on this guy.
Yep.
Like two.
Yeah.
No, I have two. And so I have to be particularly cautious about what I shove in either of them.
Well, yeah,
that's true. One of them is also the power port.
Yeah. So yeah, you gotta watch for it, but it's definitely a worthy upgrade.
Yeah, the problem is I've got all this old stuff that's Thunderbolt 2 or the HDMI cable, but I think I've got it all covered. I just have to look at the number of things I have and make sure I can narrow them down to two ports somehow. Yeah.
Well, we can figure that out, and I look forward to your column
write a column about that. Not yet, but yes, it's on my list.
Yeah.
And so that's why also I want to say, and I haven't written this yet, but I will, I don't recommend you upgrade until it gets to at least version something point two. The first one's already out, so yeah. You can see it took 3 days for them to issue a bug fix release. Yeah. I would wait for the next one. Yeah. Unless you have some urgent need to upgrade to Monterey, a few more days won't kill you, and it might save you some heartache. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But the longer you wait, the more likely your transition will be smooth.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people who spend time with the beta, and a lot of folks that I have talked to who manage machines at scale, like, you know, as part of their job and things, have said that this is very much a refinement release. It's much more in line with your High Sierra and your Mountain Lion than it is with some of the bigger jumps. Like Big Sur, where it was like this huge leap. So it's possible that it is not going to be quite as dramatic. If you're on Big Sur, going from Big Sur to Monterey is not going to be the massive undertaking that it once was. So
right.
That's a nice thing to hear. But I also know people who are super conservative and say, like, I don't do it until I don't put the new operating system on my computer until over Christmas break, when it's very slow and I can deal with a problem
if it should occur. And that's the thing, is most of the time it goes smoothly.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, do you have the couple of hours it's going to take to figure out why your calendar won't update or whatever happens, you know, whatever it is, I would prefer to wait as long as possible and avoid as many of those issues as possible.
Yeah.
But my job requires me to install these things, you know, like when they come out. And I'm okay with that. But I do it for you, gentle listener, not for me.
Well, the other thing I know from a number of people who have installed it, and yes, I know the plural of anecdote is not data, as we like to say here. basically, as long as you've got, let's say, an hour to let it download the 12-gigabyte installer, make sure you have enough disk space. Make sure you've got a recent backup in case something happens and you decide to wipe your machine and start over. It's about an hour front to back, and that it seems to be relatively incident free. You just sort of let it chunk along, and then when it'll restart a few times, and then you have to sort of log in and kind of look around and make sure everything is working the way it should. And that, for the most part, it's okay. Like the actual install piece takes like 30-45 minutes for most folks most of the time, and then it's good.
I've installed it many times.
Well, the thing I would suggest is that if you have an older machine, definitely wait, because the optimizations and things that come in for better battery life, and this is the same on iOS, the things that come in with better the optimizations for better battery life on slightly older hardware, or better responsiveness. If you're not using a machine that's still under Apple Care, let's say that's just a nice line to draw. It's about 3 years. If you're not running one of those machines, you may want to wait a little bit longer just to make sure that, you know, like Bob said, that you do end up having a good experience once you do upgrade. Because sometimes, because I was a person with one of those older machines for quite a while, and I can tell you that if you jump in head first and some of that optimization isn't there for you, you're going to have a bad time for a while until those updates come out that help make it not quite so rough. To use newer OS on an older machine.
Yeah, I would say waiting until Christmas vacation when you have a week off might not be a bad idea just in case.
Definitely if you have an older machine.
Yeah, and that gives you time to, you know, do some of that other housekeeping you've been putting off.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is a good time. I'm going to do a clean installation and then... I'm not positive if I'm going to use Migration Assistant or not yet.
Yeah. Well, and I know a number of people also like it because, like, all the, not just my office is sort of thinly populated, you know, in the last month of the year, we'll say, but also, like, a lot of other offices are also sparsely populated at the end of the year. So you don't have to worry about, like, other people that I interact with are also... You know, they're all in the office and raring to go, but my office is, you know, down a bunch of people. Like, kind of everybody sort of thins out near the end of the year. So it sometimes makes it a little less impactful if you want to, I'll spend the afternoon with it or whatever, you know, and not worry about it so much. I
spend the afternoon bug hunting.
Well, yeah. You know, you can kick it off and then, like, not worry about it, you know, because you don't need your machine for anything. So come back later, see if it's done. Yeah. Come back late, you know, and then check on it later. And then, you know, if you migrate, see how the migration is, you know, check on the migration assistant or, you know, make sure it's on the Wi-Fi.
That's right. A watched Mac never boils. So don't start one of these effects and then start one of these installs or other things and then sit there looking at it because
yeah, that'll never work.
It will definitely stall. And
yeah. But it's also the sort of thing you can leave unattended. So, you know, if it takes half an hour and you've been gone for 2 hours, don't worry about it. It'll be waiting for you when you get back. And there's a lot less pressure on it. You know, you're not under a deadline or something. So that makes it a lot easier to do. Yeah. So there you go.
Or you'll come back and your screen will be frozen and you'll have to force reboot and then reformat the disk.
When I have to upgrade stuff, you know. That's usually what I do is like, okay, I have all the rest of Saturday, you know, or whatever. So I leave it and then I wander back later and go, oh yeah, I was running an update and then check on it and okay, everything's fine. And, you know,
experienced users tend to not do it on a day when there's things that might need to be done afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you need the rest of the day just in case.
Yep.
Just in case.
So, it's a good plan. So.
And then you know what? If everything works as promised, you can go out to dinner and get drunk.
Well, I was going to say the other advantage to that is if I do it when I know nothing is urgent and I'm not up against any sort of deadline, it's usually fine.
You can start the margaritas early.
That too, but it's usually fine. It's only like I have to have this ready because I'm doing a thing in an hour. Like that's when it all goes wrong. So I try to avoid that scenario as much as I can. And one of the ways I do that is like, I'm just going to kick off my upgrade around lunchtime Saturday. And then if I have to spend even all day tomorrow on it, it's fine.
I'm still okay. Right.
Yeah. So, well,
but that's because you and I are really longtime Macintosh users.
It's because I've seen some stuff. I've seen things, Bob.
I've seen things myself, having written all these books about the operating systems over the years. People have confided in me. And that's why I like to warn people, you know, you don't need to upgrade the first day. And it's probably a terrible idea to do that if you don't need to. I mean, unless there's a feature you can't possibly live without, wait for the 02 release or the 03 release or wait for Christmas so that you have a week.
It'll still be waiting for you. It's fine. Right. Everything's fine. But it does mean your laptop will miss out on live text, which is kind of a bummer. But like, don't make that the only reason that you upgrade. That's what I'll say.
Well, and the deal with the sidecar kind of thing.
I mean, that's cool. You know, we'll dig into it.
I haven't played with that yet. Yeah. We're going to play with that a lot in upcoming weeks.
Expect more from Bob on Monterey in the near future. That's going to do it for us today. Bob, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Rose Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow for Security Friday. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.